Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for clarity and understanding as touching discipleship and why we must be given and we must be determined to make disciples. We ask and we receive revelation knowledge as I begin to teach the word, and that there is no confusion. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. We had had a conversation concerning why we must be given to discipleship and why we must endeavor to make disciples. And I'm hoping by now, you know, things should start becoming more clear why we ought to be given to the task. How many of us have been blessed by the teachings? Is it strengthening reasons why you should be given to discipleship and why you should ensure other people are given to discipleship? All right. So I'm hoping that in the various sessions, you are coming gradually to that place where, you know, you're getting to say, okay, that's why they do it like this. That's why it's like this, right? So we have a base scripture we have been looking at. And Paul has written his first letter to Timothy in the 3rd chapter of the 15th verse. And he's telling Timothy that if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. So Paul is saying, I just might tarry longer than usual. You know, I told you I'll come, but just in case I'm not here, the things that I've taught you and written to you is able to make you understand how you ought to behave yourself in the church of the living God. He calls the church of the living God. So, Timothy, you're not left in the dark as how to navigate and how to go about your life. Everything has been clearly stated out. We said the how is the manner, and thou ought is what is proper. So your manner has to be proper. I also made us see, you know, extracting out some very key characters of God and how that he wants things done orderly. It's one of the, you know, very key characteristics of the God that we serve, the true church, you know, the true living God. It's one of his key characteristics, is that we saw that how Genesis chapter 1, he, you know, had created the earth, realized that there was, you know, formlessness, there was confusion, there was emptiness, there was vanity, there was chaos. Then there was waste, tohu abohu. So there was form and void. The earth was form and void. So there was earth without form and void. Then we see how he sets things in order. How thou oughtest is what we see happening right from Genesis chapter 1. Right into Genesis, a few chapters away, we saw how he's giving instructions to Noah on how the ark ought to be built. Then to the temple of Moses. And then we get to come to a conclusion you know, via these three major stories, because reasons why I chose these, and you'll find that in many, you know, you don't find him giving an instruction and say, just go and do what you want to do.
Uh-huh.
You hardly find God give you an instruction and it's like, do what you want to do. It will be fine with me. Just decide whatever you want to do. So it means that we have a God that's orderly. He likes to have things in their form. He wants to have places where there is no chaos, no emptiness, no confusion. So, in his church, how thou oughtest to comport thyself, how thou oughtest to behave thyself, how thou oughtest to carry thyself in the house of God. It means there is a way we go about everything in his house. Right? So, in his house, which is household, maybe we'll see that in our last discipleship conversation, why discipleship, maybe tomorrow. In his household, I'll take time to explain that verse. In his household is also to say in his family, he has a structured order. So he wants to have order in the earth, number one. That's what he seeks to accomplish. He wants to have order in his family. Order in the systems which he has put in place. I even showed you yesterday how that he exercised that same order with Sarah and Hagar. He's not usurping authority. No, he understands authority. And so he works with the order. He has order in his family. He has order in his household. He has order in the church. See, you see, we have to let Sakodie or Keche come and give us a 5-minute talk just to ginger the youth. Listen to me. Every one of us here is youth. Our youth is not for entertainment. Are you listening? Our youth is for direction. Our youth is not to be lousy and exuberant over youthful things. Our youth is for direction. So, your youthfulness is for direction. It's not for exuberance. Your youth is for order. And even if there is exuberance, that exuberance is exercised orderly. That's why in the place of prayer, you can hear something, and you say, that's God's order. You see, that's God's order. That noise is God's order. See what I'm saying? Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. That rejoicing is what God calls order. Is that wood shitting? Use the wood like that. Is the gold in the temple? That's his order. We gather together and there's a song and the whole congregation is singing. That's God's order. We get into a meeting and everybody is flowing, seeing, hearing, ministering, one to another. That's God's order. Hands are being laid and the Holy Ghost is having a move in the place and men are swept. That's God's order. That's not tohu bohu. That's not formless. That's not confusion. That's not emptiness. That's not vanity. That's not chaos. That is what God calls his order. See, Christ family, disco cum Christ Jesus night. What a disorder. What a disorder. You can't lay hands. You can't get someone filled in the Holy Ghost. You can't explain Bible. You are not raising disciples. That's chaos. So God wants to have the earth in order. He wants to set his families in order. See, Pastor, please, we just wanted to suggest to you, Pastor, please, don't be offended. Pastor, please, don't be offended. Pastor, please, promise me you will not be offended. Pastor, please, we just wanted to suggest to you that if you could let somebody come and teach us soap making and cryptocurrency in the church. I'll show you. Some of you think that God sits in heaven and he smiles at it. Like, he's furious. So it's not really anything. It's something. Why is it not that in the temple where you have the holies of holies? Why don't we bring somebody, a musician, to enter into the holies of holies and sing to appease God? He should try it. We carry the Celine Dion of their day and we say, because she has a nice voice, let's put her into the holies of holies. That's how she strike dead. So he's not just appeased with everything. He's not. Sometimes we just act like we are the ones that make it look like he is, but he's not. Which pastor? Forget about him. Forget about him. We also know that dishonor. Oh, the leaders, they are. Yeah, just some way when we try to talk to them, they don't really shut up over there. You are a very formless, confused, empty, vain, chaotic individual. So you would even get to realize that evangelism without a deliberate discipleship plan will never fulfill God's plan in the earth or for the earth. It will never. What people call the Great Commission actually is discipleship. It tells you to go and make disciples. You know, it will amaze you to know that God's never told us to soul win exactly. See, he never told us exactly to soul win. His emphasis has been on this key instruction on making disciples. So, you know, as good as evangelism is, the real plan of God is going to be fulfilled on the earth or for the earth if men will be discipled. Don't forget disciples. Matthew 2. People who are taught the ways of God. People who follow in the way of God. So it's true. When we get a man saved, you know, he moves from death to life. he becomes an eternal member of God's family. Right? But is that all? Certainly not. That's not all. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 15. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 15. For this cause, 14. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We have a great cloud of witnesses. They are family. In heaven. The whole family in heaven. And the whole family that is on earth. So it means that God has a family. He has a family. Remember, I told you that he is seeking to establish order in this family. You know, the Greek word for family is actually patria. It means literally a family. Right? P-A-T-R-I-A. It means a community. It also means a lineage running back to some progenitor. So, is a lineage running back to some progenitor. So, when we take the 79th generation, we should be able to trace back to the progenitor, from the individual from whence life proceeds from. That's a family, a nation, a people. So God has a family, and he wants to similarly restore this order in his family. And that family is the church of Jesus Christ on the earth today. So, you know what he wants for the earth? An earth without oppression, without extortion, without injustice, without manipulation, without lies, without vanity. An earth that's mindful of him. Men who are mindful of him. Now, it is from his family this earth is going to be made what he wants the earth to be. And he wants the whole earth flooded with the knowledge of the glory of God. So it's not just that he wants people saved. He just wants you saved. That's all. Oh, you saved. No. The salvation is what makes you born again. Now, the expression born again is quite interesting. It means to be born into God's family. God uses that expression, you know, in his communication with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Right? So, to be born again, that's why Nicodemus was asking him, should I enter or must I enter back into my mother's womb? He says, no. Right? So he's talking about being born into God's family. You are born into union with God. So you're going to be born again. Now you have something that God has. There's a life in him that's imparted into you by believing in Jesus Christ. He says in verse 16. So, when you're born into God's family. Now, God wants his family filling the earth. He wants his family territorially dominating the earth. We're still talking about why discipleship. Because we just don't want to see tohu bohu and like God not do anything and not have a trait of saying let there be light. Because light will mean that we are instituting God's plan and making sure that darkness and anything in the similitude of darkness is dispelled. So you see people say, let there be light. Because they want to have things in order. So, God seeks to accomplish something important. And He only does that via discipleship. He wants to have you orderly. A Christian, you talk like an unbeliever. It's because you are not giving to discipleship. There's no teacher, there's no rabbi to sit to you and say, hey, you are messing up. Don't talk like this, talk like that. Who has also been trained by somebody. Yeah, we don't understand. We have a say. Meanwhile, your say is not God's say, but you have a say. Allow us talk, son. The world is a free world. We can everything want to say. See, what you have, say. I have, excuse me to say, but I want this to be very clear. I have hips. I have breasts. I have a monthly flow. Oh, then it means you are female. No, I'm not female. I'm male. You don't determine what I have to be called. I'm not female, I'm male. You see, that's chaos. That's disorder. Allow us to do what we want to do. STWZKYX. Now, I'm also learning how to be an international teacher. Because if I say it, they'll say I've said it. So SKWTYZQ, if you come and listen to it, we didn't say anything. Like, we are just saying STWKYZ, whatever. You are sick. SKYW, you are sick. We need to take you to the hospital quickly. Yeah, see your biceps. We are seeing something small hanging in front there. You are a male. That's what you are. No, I'm a female. You be doing your look at all the macho on your hands. You are saying you are a female. When you look at it, is that how female looks like? So you see, the world is just in confusion, chaos, vanity, emptiness, formlessness. Today people scam people and they don't have a heart for them. I saw one thing, the Nigerian man had scammed the white lady several hundreds of thousands of dollars. An innocent woman. The woman was just crying. Just because she's fat and she says that she wants to marry an African man. So you see that the world is messed up. And so God seeks to bring in some order. And they want to bring it into the church. They even want us to bless their marriages. See, allow us He's the female. I'm the male. You are both of you are males. He's the female. You are the male. You even confuse me. Should we call you she? Should we call you her she? But when we see you, we are likely to call you he. But you get angry that we are calling you a he. Then we should call you she. So we shouldn't say, we shouldn't do that, we shouldn't force you, we should allow you. There is a natural remedy for whatever God has put in place. But man will distort that. When he does not have God's spirit in him. So, it's like, you know, the anomaly of the world is that probably someone can be saved, right? Whose conducts are run even by the God of this world. God's spirit dwells in their hearts, but they are ruled by Satan. They are working for Satan, but they have God's spirit. So that brings me back to say a statement. Only discipleship raises the kind of men who make God's plan on the earth of order possible. Only discipleship. Remember, the rabbis sitting with their students. When a rabbi is studying, their students are studying. The rabbi is teaching. The rabbi is explaining. The rabbi is saying, don't do it like this. Don't do it like that. Don't do it like this. Do it like this. Listen. What I'm like, the same. And that's how cultures are passed from generation to generation to generation. So God, in his wisdom, wanting to pass out his culture from one generation to the other, says that don't go and just say that you are saved and you leave them there. And don't also say, I'm saved, so I don't need anybody to help me to walk with God. Haven't you seen that some people, you know, left discipleship and they are not maybe doing well? Speaking to someone very recently, and she expressed to me, and I was sad. You know, person leaves discipleship, says, oh, she's gone back to whatever it is she was doing. Oh, he's gone back to drinking. Oh, he's going now into it. He wasn't, but he's going into it. So God is setting his order. He's setting his order. He's setting his honor. And he's raising his men. He's setting his honor. Let me tell you something. You have to know how this devil is and how smart he is. Do you see that? If you were not really taught by God's word, maybe not all of you, but majority of you, you will not come to the understanding that your husband, I'm not saying a man, I'm saying your husband. I've been saying this a couple of times. I've said this again and again and again. Man and woman is the same. Male and female is the same. The word of God makes it very clear. But when you get married to a man, you are not the same. You're the same in the sight of Christ, but you're not the same in the order of leadership. So you always find me make statements like, as you hear the word of God, you will have to submit to. That's in the home. So in the home, you are submitted to. When it comes to God's institution, which is the church, the pastor is the head of the two of you. So that's why it's very wrong for you to take your husband, wife, whatever, over what your pastor said. Because when you come into the institution of God's order, you both are supposed to be seeing your pastor as God's person sent to you. And that's why it's quite easy, doctrinally, to be in a relationship with somebody that understands what your pastor teaches and that submits to the same source. it becomes much easier, because doctrinally there is an understanding of what is the most important. See that? There's a clear understanding of what's the most important. So it becomes easy for both of you to flow in that manner. How do you see someone say, put that man of God aside, or put your pastor aside, let's face him. That's wrong. That's in the institution of God. You don't pay attention to that. You pay attention to who God has set in that institution. So you see that the world is full of chaos, full of confusion. But that is not what God sees. The same thing that happens in Genesis chapter 1, tohu bohu, is what's happening. But this time, God sets us over the earth to put things in order. So we're able to say, let there be a division of firmaments. Now let there be light. Let beds of the air be created. Then we can see that which God is doing through us today in the earth, it is good. So we are setting things in order. In order. And how God does that is via discipleship, which is teaching and being trained. And don't forget, that's why I showed you how he is from the beginning. From the beginning. You see that he's an orderly personality. Very orderly. So, he's setting his order on the earth. Everywhere, his order means he's setting his nature of how he wants things done. That's his order, his nature of how he wants it done. He wants it done in this way, it has to be done in that way. So, in John chapter 2, verse 12, let me show you something. Now, this is Genesis, I've showed you. This is Noah's experience, I've showed you. This is Haggai authority, I've showed you. Showed you Moses and building the temple. Let's see what he does in the flesh when he comes again. He's repeating the same thing. Oh, he's repeating the same thing. In the flesh, he comes again. In John chapter 2, verse 12. John chapter 2, verse 12. John chapter 2, verse 12. After this, he went down to Capernaum, we're reading down, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there for not many days, and found in the temple, he found something, those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of the money sitting. Wow, he sees this order in his father's house. Jam Sunday, Jam Thursday, Suya Monday, Suya Tuesday. Jesse, are we playing football here? Traditional, who's it? You see, one of the most, I don't know if everybody sees it, but me, I see it. I'm telling you, one of the things that Jesus comes to do is to unite his family as one and not create division. Now, I'm not saying that I have a problem with any church doing it. I just see that it's not the right thing to do. Because I've studied God's word, it's not the right thing to do. You see, Ashantis, Bonos, Upper West, Kosase comes to dance display. The Kusasi people are this thing is the best.
Meanwhile, he says he's redeemed you from every tribe and tongue. He has called you forth. He's brought you out of those things. Do not be, oh my God. You have redeemed us unto our God by his blood out of every tribe and tongue. He's made us kings and priests to our God. And he causes us to reign on earth while he reigns in heaven. He didn't come and say that you should. You wear your Ashanti things and you see the Ashanti things like, oh, you're not here. Hey! I'll just be there and I'll be afraid like this. Like, hey, God, this is your church. Like, you don't understand. It's the same. He said that use gold in the temple. Don't use brass. Don't use shittim. Not sapily. Gold. Another culture, they also come in. Anyway, that's exactly what God came to stop. Don't have those things. We're not supposed to be divided in the church. That's why I told you that in this ministry, we don't speak languages. We don't speak tree. I've caught some of you, and I dealt with you, I gave you an hour, told you formally. I said, no, we don't do that here. We don't speak Ashanti. We don't speak Ga. We don't speak Yoruba. We don't speak whatever. When we come together, we speak English. Yes, because all those things that stop us and all those things that divide us and make us feel different, those things do not exist. When we come together, we're God's family. We speak the same tribe. I mean, we're from the same tribe. The same progenitor. We're from him. Everybody. Blue, black, yellow, gray, white. That's why nobody should laugh at any Togolese, Nigerian, or anything. Yo, somebody's got to be crazy. If I catch you laughing at a Nigerian, say, Oga, you come out and then you are laughing, you'll be in trouble. I don't like that. Language should not be a reason why we are not united. Ghanaian English is not better than Nigerian English. Nigerian English is not better than Ghanaian English. It's not better than whatever you have. Does not make anybody feel inferior. We are all the same. We can receive from anybody. Yes. Yes. When God wanted to save me and to help me and to help my walk with him grow, is it not Kenneth Hagin? He led me to. When I started listening to Kenneth Hagin, I couldn't hear a word. I was really and Kenneth Hagin talks very fast. Yeah, if you don't know Kenneth Hagin, I used to slow down the video. When I start playing, I slow my minus 0.75 or something. I bring it down. He said, I'll be talking, and so the word of God says that you should, and that's how I could listen. But over time, as I kept on listening, I saw that his fast-paced speech was working. So God is maybe wanting you to receive. You see me like this, I don't know what you think about my grammar or anything, but maybe you don't also understand perfectly. Maybe, I will not be shocked if when I talk, you don't understand fully, or maybe when I cite some examples, you are still struggling to relate. But I'm the one God has said you should receive from. So you better humble yourself and receive from it. And you see me reading Kenneth Hagin books. I know his wife's name. I know his children's name. Yes, I know the towns. Some of the towns he went to or where he came from. But I've never gone to US. That's humbling yourself to receive what God has said you should receive from. So what he's trying to stop, we are now trying to institute in the church. Ashanti is this. See, September bonds. September bonds. Whether January or September, we are the same. If it comes to January, we'll celebrate. If it comes to March, we'll celebrate. If it comes to this, we'll celebrate. You know what I'm saying? That September bonds, we are the best. We are the this. Oh, we are the... Please. Please. So he comes into the temple. He sees that they're selling oxen. They're selling sheep. They're selling doves. Changes of the money are sitting down. Their eyes are red. And to change money in the church, making merchandise of the gospel. Making merchandise of the gospel. Buy oil. Buy this. Do this. Go and do that. Bring a this. Do that. Or do this. Tie this red ribbon. This. He's seen it all happen in the church. People of God. He's in the flesh now. He's not now the Jesus we see in Genesis. You know, that's a spirit. And we see him in spirit form speaking to Moses and Noah. He's now physical. This is what he does. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple. And sheep and oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. He's furious. Furious. He comes to meet this order. Comes to meet a church where everybody wants to say their opinion matters. Yes. And I want to make this very clearly known. Here we don't deal with opinions. The church is not a democratic convocation. It's not a democratic convocation. Not that, Pastor, you have to listen to what we have to say. The church is not run by democracy. It's not run by democracy. And it's not run by what you think is a good suggestion. The church is run by the Holy Spirit via the pastor. He gives instructions and everybody follows. Don't try to argue and ask that. We don't do democracy in God's church. They don't even listen to our opinions. If we listen to opinions, we will not be here. So you do it, then you go and do it. Told you to do it, you do it quickly. So he drove all of them out of the temple. But you see, we want to have a church that is orderly, a family that's orderly, a people that's orderly, a nation that's orderly. See, why is it that everybody just comes up and says, thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity, and hey, can't we just lead the prayer ourselves? Can't we do things our way? Can't we? I mean, we are also anointed by the Holy Ghost. You're asking. The answer is, you can't. And if you don't like it like that, find somewhere that you can and go. Because we have order. We have order. We have a way things should run. We have a way to submit to leaders and to leadership. It's God's order. It's God's plan for us as his family. You know, the greatest tragedy a king can have for a son is a son that disgraces the father. Hey, so maybe the son drinks alcohol. A prince, you drink alcohol, you go and sleep in the gutter, and they have to come and pick you and say, Nana, Pacho Obana Bao. Pacho Obana, yeah, the Obana Ba. Those of you who don't understand me, I'm trying to paint a communication. I'm not trying to leave you out of the conversation. So it means that, Father, your child has come, or we have brought your child. Pacho na 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 wa 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 It's like your son is drunk and he's in the gutter. And your father will just be saying, my God, my God. That's what happens when God sees disorderliness. In the church, you see that people are dancing formation. Meanwhile, the formation is, what formation is real? Ketcha formation. That's Obanabo, but Odagotanumu, Obanabo, that's the same thing. Obano, he's in the gutter. Your son is in the gutter. He's dancing formation. It's the same thing. I'm trying to tell you the gospel truth and how you should see it. Oh, he's lashed them, thrown them out of the church, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my father's house a house of merchandise. Don't make my father's house a clown, a movie center. Don't make it like that. Make it a spot for discipleship. Just as Peter laid hands and people were healed, I want to see those things. Just as they spoke in tongues, I want to see those things. Just as Peter preached and the Holy Ghost fell, we want to see those things. The power of God in demonstration in a place. The people orderly. They respect one another highly. Yeah. Yeah, highly. Recently, I got to realize that a church calls everybody esteemed this. I knew that they were going to have a great time. In fact, they're already having a great time. Esteemed this. And they add esteem to it, whether you are, whatever. Yes, because you are truly so. And then you see them grow in multitudes and in leaps and in bounds. And you sit somewhere and say, it's a cult. They are trying to... No, the Spirit of God is giving a free course by the life that they live. That orderliness is of God. And the devil cannot have his way. That's why you see somebody who slanders. Oh, he has done this to me. If the church is full of order, he goes to someone, hey, did you see what pastor has done? He said, please, let's not have pastor's conversation here. I think I should call pastor. Pastor, yes, please. This person just came right now. And pastor, this person is complaining bitterly that this happened. You see, the devil will not have his way in whatever it is that's happening. And when somebody comes, hey, even this leader... And CEO, there's something I've always wanted to say, but it's like I can't say. Now them, disorder, chaos. There's something I've really observed about this ministry, but it's like I can't really say it. If you say it, they'll say that you are trying to be some way. We are just inside and we are just one. The moment you hear something like this, that person becomes an agent of disorder. We are watching to see what will happen. Nothing will happen in Jesus' name. And we'll keep growing and growing and growing and growing. Saying that something. So he drives them all out of the temple. Don't make my father's house a house of merchandise. So Jesus, again, who happens to be God in the flesh, is instituting order. If I'm able to help you get this in your heart, there are many things that go on in churches. You will not be appeased by those things, or they will not become appetizers. And they will not become reasons why I say, hey, I'm leaving this church. Oh, I went there. Their praises is 50 minutes. Their word is just 15 minutes. Even that one, the pastor just quotes one scripture. He does it short. Jesus taught for 40 days. You are here. You are taking one scripture short. You are happy. I'm going to defeat full-time devil with one scripture. One scripture. You have one scripture. And they are happy because church is fun. As for my church, you can't say anything. Here, you can't say anything, my brother. You can't say anything. If you say anything, with why you will ask you, why did you say this? Why did you make this statement? Why is it that you are trying to destroy what we are trying to build and what God is trying to build? Why are you thinking in this manner? We'll ask you, what is the problem with you? And if you don't like it like that, we are sorry for you. Yeah. So we can have that. See that all the men are grown. They are upright. They don't lie. Like this, you can't really tell yellow, black. You can't really tell today they are yellow, tomorrow they are black, tomorrow you can't. What kind of disorder is this? Ladies who can also lie. That is only the men. The ladies too are part. It's only discipleship that raises the kind of men who make God's plan or who institute God's order on the earth and in the family which He has on the earth. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 14:40. We're going to look at three scriptures more and then we'll be out of here. Am I wasting your time? 1 Corinthians 14:40. So Paul is writing to the Corinth church in verse 40. He gives them a very strict instruction. Let all things be done decently and in order. Let all things be done decently and in order. Yeah. The church of Jesus Christ, which is the ground and pillar of truth, is characterized by decency and order. Discipleship, when you wear a short skirt and your teacher meets you and says, no, please go back home and wear another skirt. Don't come and say, we know that God accepts you just as you come. God accepts you as you come, but if you are being at discipleship and that's not your first time coming to church and you wear something, your teacher says you go and change it and just listen and go and change it. You never know. You are confusing the brethren. And you are putting the brethren into tough and difficult moments. As they are in church, all they are confused. The brothers, all of them are confused. Because you are an agent of chaos. So why don't you dress decently? Or you think the guys here, me, I'm excluded. You think the guys here, they are firewoods? So no, you have to change this thing. Looks at your eyelashes fine. Say, no, this one is not good. It's not good. It's depicting Lucifer, sort of Luciferian. Change. Please change it. We beg you, change it. Yeah, the Spirit of God in a place will even tell you to change it. Yeah, I saw a guy. He came into a church with Rasta. Rasta is not wrong. And he went there for like 2 times or so, or 3 times. And the guy went to take off the thing. Because you see, when you have the Spirit of God, we're not saying you can't do it. You can do it. You can do anything you want. If anything you want to do, you can do. But is it orderly? You see that? Is it orderly? Does it subscribe to order? You have earrings on your nose, earrings on your cheeks, earrings on your lips, earrings on your eyes. Which one do you want us to look at when we see you? Which one? Which we look at? Your ears, your nose, your eyes, your four on the ears on the left, four on the ears on the right. Yeah. Saw some of you and then show the person to me. I saw a ring on her marriage finger and I said, don't wear your ring. And don't wear rings around me if you want to be around. Don't remove your rings. Because to put a ring there will be saying that you are married, but you are not married yet. That's disorder. You are putting something where it ought not to be. I want to wear chain. Are you orderly? You want to wear chain? A guy pan, you have two chains, three chains on your neck. What are you looking for? Start to don't be orderly. Saying pastor is becoming too personal. Hey, listen to me. Be orderly. No, we just want to, you know, just lower the trouser a bit. You want to lower the trouser a bit. In discipleship, you tell her, please change. I mean, look, pull it up small. We pray, we say, let's lift up our voice in prayer. That's what God wants. God wants to separate us from the world. And he wants to place his distinct mark. In fact, he has placed his distinct mark on us. But he wants that mark to be very clearly seen amongst people. So when you meet a believer, you can almost tell, now, this is a believer. How did you know he's a believer? I know. Hey, look at him, I can tell. And truly, 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 you go and he's a believer. Because it's written all over him. That's the mark of God. So in Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order. In order. In order. 1 Corinthians 7:17. Some of you might not like this teaching, but it's supposed to help. If you don't even like it, I'm teaching it. Teaching God's word. 1 Corinthians 7:17. But as God had distributed to every man, as the Lord had called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. So even in the church, there's an ordination. And there are people who are called to doing what God wants them to do. So we must respect that. I was speaking to someone a couple of years ago. And the person said, "Hey, my pastor is my friend." And I said, let me tell you, your pastor is not your friend. Your pastor can grow to the level where there's a very strong, genuine friendship. But your pastor is not your, like, what is it? That'd be my body. Your pastor is not your body. Your pastor represents God to you. That's what he is. So, lastly, Paul again is leaving Titus in a province called Crete, in Titus chapter 1, verse 5. We'll end here. Titus, then Hebrews. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. And Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. So Titus chapter 1, verses 5. Okay, so let's read from somewhere around verse 4. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith. You see that common is the same. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. After the common faith. The faith should be common. It should be the self-same faith expressed everywhere. Then in verse 5, for this cause left I thee in Crete. So Paul is saying that, Titus, I left you in a town called Crete. And Titus is also like a young pastor. And he's faced with, you know, a very enviable assignment of setting in order the church that is at Crete. Yeah. Also young men. Then he says, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. Set in order the things that are disorderly. NIV, our last version, before we go. Verse 5 of Titus 1:5. You set in order. Tomorrow we're going to look at some other reasons for discipleship. But I just wanted to set our minds on the fact that God wants to set the earth and his families in order. The reason I left you in Crete was that you might put in order what is left unfinished. Wow. Put in order. God has order. Amongst his people, there's an order. There's an instruction of order. Don't be disorderly. You see, when you are disorderly, you put yourself in that position of being somebody that God cannot use. Yeah. Jesus that he used, he worked mightily with his disciples. That's some order. Why didn't he just leave it to chance and said the Holy Spirit after his departure will choose the people? No, but he chooses people. He stays with them for 3 years. He teaches them. He explains to them. Then he commits to them an assignment. Then they also pick up the assignment. Then they write books concerning the assignment. Then one of them comes in, who has a divinely granted appearance, writes 2/3 of the books. But he's still, even with the apostles, the foundational apostles, those who had seen Jesus and had walked with Jesus. So that's quite some order. I mean, that's a lot of order, I should believe. So we are seeing that one of the things, or one of the reasons for discipleship, is that discipleship becomes a reason or becomes a tool that God uses to institute his order on the earth and in his families. So via being taught, things become clear. And we get to be raised into the kind of men that God will have on the earth, who make God's plan possible. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so our time is up. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for clarity as to touching discipleship and order. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we're growing to appreciate, to give ourselves, and to see that more men will need to be raised for this cause in Jesus' name. Amen.